and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Everybody's probably sorry they missed my bitch fest right before the show. You're wondering, what do we do before the show? We just bitch.
Bitch about everything and everyone.
Right. I hate everyone but you.
Aw, you're the best.
Okay. Oh, Jim's not here.
No.
Okay.
Imagine that.
He's late again. All right. 1-800-STEP-TERRIFIC. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Guess who also I love?
Who?
Michael Tomosky, who will be here in about 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Who I would like to date and kiss and marry. He has a great piece about John Boehner.
Yeah.
With some classic lines. He really is the worst. He will go down in history as the worst speaker ever.
Yeah.
I mean, ever.
He can't even corral his own caucus.
Yeah. And Michael Tomosky points out, because he does tend to, he just looks like a sad, drunk little rabbit, as I've said before, a little orange. But he said it's really, he's despicable. He's not, you can't go, oh, I feel sorry for him, he's crazy. He's like, he's the one that negotiates and caves to these terrorists over and over again, and is threatening to bring down the United States government over defunding a law that's been law.
Law? Not a bill.
It's a law. Okay. 1-800, I love Bill, like we're still debating this.
No.
It passed 3.5 years ago. It's been upheld by the Supreme Court. The president ran on it in the last election. It's just, and Newt Gingrich, I love this. Robert Reich wrote a great piece. He just debated him.
Yeah.
And Newt Gingrich was like, Congress has always had the power to tell the king, no, you can't have any more money. It's like, what? You idiot. You were the Speaker of the House. You know better.
Yeah.
You cannot defund laws you don't like. It is not constitutional. Ugh. Okay. Anyway.
Everything is irritating you this morning.
Oh, everything. The show's either going to be wildly entertaining or suck eggs. I don't care. All right. So we got a lot to get to. And also Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com with some great stuff as usual. But this is, how many times did you see online yesterday the Thelma and Louise going off the cliff in the, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Because, Harry Reid was talking about that, about the Republicans.
We will not bow to Tea Party anarchists who refuse to accept the Supreme Court ruled Obamacare to be constitutional. And we will not bow to Tea Party anarchists in the House or in the Senate who ignore the fact that President Obama was overwhelmingly reelected.
Yeah.
There's that. And secondly, Mike Tomosky, takes us through what kind of, the thing is, what's the end game here? Because it's the 30th. It's next Monday is when the government would shut down. So in terms of what he thinks is going to happen or how this is going to play out. Because it's just really? We're going through this again? This is Robert Reich in Salon. The headline, defunding laws you dislike is not constitutional. Period.
There's that.
It's just, we were talking yesterday about Mark Levin, who is otherwise delightful, as we know. Talking about the president shredding the Constitution by shoving this through Congress. In some way different than any ever other law has been passed in our history?
Yeah, it was passed very legally, Mark.
Yeah, yeah. I don't. How is that shredding the Constitution?
It's not.
What is shredding the Constitution would be this. They were on ABC this week together, and this is Gingrich. Robert Reich provides the transcript. Under our constitutional system, going all the way back to the Magna Carta in 1215, the People's House is allowed to say to the king, we ain't giving you money. Reich, sorry, under our constitutional system, you're not allowed to risk the entire system of government to get your way. He goes on to say, the Constitution of the United States does not allow a majority of the House of Representatives to repeal the law of the land by defunding it. If that were the case, no law is safe.
Right.
I mean, talk about a slippery slope, right? He says a majority of the House could get rid of unemployment insurance, federal aid to education, Social Security, Medicare, or any other law they didn't like merely by deciding not to fund them. Can you imagine if we governed like this? This is insane. He said, Robert Reich goes on to say, I believe the Affordable Care Act will prove to be enormously popular with the American public once it's fully implemented, which is exactly why the Republicans are so intent on bulldozing it before then. If they were sincere about their objections, they'd let Americans try it out, and then if it didn't work, decide to repeal it, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are you so scared of? The constitutional process repealing a law... Thanks. It's for both houses to enact a new bill that repeals the old, which they did with Glass-Steagall, which was, ugh.
Yeah.
But anyway,
yeah.
Anyway, but that's how it's done. That it repeals the old one, which then must be signed by the president. If the president vetoes it, then the repeal can only go into effect if the veto is overridden by 2/3 of the House and the Senate. So, I mean, it can't be done what they're talking about. The Republicans who are now running the House of Representatives are pushing a dangerous new constitutional doctrine. They must be stopped. There should be no compromising with fanatics. I mean, that's exactly what it is. I mean, they continue to come up with new ways to flabbergast me. Because I'm just like, what? Huh? Because this is what Mike Tomasky will tell us in just a few minutes. He thinks what will happen is obviously what we all know is going to happen. They're going to strip this provision out in the Senate. And then he said, you know, Boehner's going to offer some ridiculous compromise. You know, like, oh, well, how about this? And it's like, no.
No.
All right. Senator Pat Toomey, Republican of Pennsylvania.
What I'm hoping we can do, peel off some of the most damaging parts, peel off what we can, delay what we can't, also hold the line on spending. You know, the Democrats want to increase spending above the statutory limits that were set. So those are a few of the things that I think we ought to insist on.
Oh, really? I mean, can you imagine if every law we did this? Like, it's, oh, we don't like good peas, so we're going to take that out. It's like...
Yeah, they're tilting at windmills here.
Yeah. And meanwhile, I was listening to someone else this weekend. I think that's the other thing that's going to happen. In the states where people are cooperating, things are going to be a lot better, and people are going to get health care, and they're going to like it. And then it's like there will be pressure on the other states to stop being douches.
Well, that's what's going to happen here in California. We're going to have a whole bunch of insurance companies in the exchange.
In every state where people there are Democrats governing, you know, obviously the insurance premiums already are going down.
And we're going to have a lot more. We're going to have quite a few insurance companies in the exchange, and there's going to be competition, which will drive prices down.
Right.
It's going to be a good thing here, but I feel sorry for our neighbors in Arizona.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, by the way, did you see? There's another story. Speaking of California, Nevada is busing their mental patients into California.
Oh my God!
The Republican governor.
That?
They just give them a sack lunch, put them on a bus. We'll talk about that later.
Oh.
So those compassionate conservatives you've heard so much about. Okay, Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky on this whole shutdown.
I think really we fight it out, and we'll see in the end the Democrats have the Senate and the presidency. It's going to be difficult ultimately to overcome them, but I think we should use the leverage of controlling the House. The Republicans were elected in the House. We were elected to do something. People want us to stand up and fight Obamacare.
Right.
No, that's incorrect.
No. By the way, Harry Reid said the only people who actually want Obamacare defunded are extremists. He pointed to polls that have found broad support for most elements of the health care law. That's what I mean. When people find out what it actually is, they like all of the components of it. It's just you put the name Obama in and they're like, yeah, oh, boo, I don't know what. Black guy, no. Yeah, he said, and many Senate Republicans think using a government shutdown to try to defund the law is a terrible idea. He said 2 dozen Senate Republicans have spoken out against what is a foolhardy plan to drive the economy off the cliff. 2 dozen, as he mentioned, the Thelma. He said this Thelma and Louise style isn't getting the attention of the American people in a positive tone. If Democrats don't bow to every demand the Tea Party Republicans have, they want to go right over the cliff. Well, we're not going to go with them. This is the thing that drives me crazy is they get away with on TV is, oh, the American people. No, the American people don't want the Affordable Care Act defunded and the government shut down. Oh, smear. Okay. Senator Ted Cruz, who, I don't know, again, he needs to finish up his fight with the rest of his party before. Because he's the one that pushed the House to do this. And then he knows it can't be done either.
And so he's like, backing away from
it. He's like, oh, well, good luck over there. And they're like, you douche. I just love it. I mean, this is what, oh, my God. And then, of course, when you have Sarah Palin in the fray, it's because, I mean, that's what Chris Wallace was talking about. Is everybody hates Ted Cruz, even Republicans. So then we have Caribou Barbie jumping into the fray.
Yeah.
She went after Chris Wallace after the Fox News host said he received opposition research from Republicans about Ted Cruz.
Not from Democrats, Republicans.
This has been one of the strangest weeks I've ever had in Washington. As soon as we listed Ted Cruz as our featured guest this week, I got unsolicited research and questions, not from Democrats, from top Republicans to hammer Cruz. Palin, of course, the quitter from Twitter, responded, as she does on Twitter.
Yeah.
Fox News Sunday, keep it truly fair and balanced, release the GOP names encouraging you to trash Ted Cruz, no more anonymous sources. Also, too, in addition.
Please and thank you.
Here he is, the aforementioned douche nozzle Ted Cruz.
President, that leads to the second unanimous consent request that I put forward. A simple request that every amendment on this continuing resolution be subject to 60 votes.
In the words of Senator John McCain, who was quoted in the new GQ,
yeah.
I hate Ted Cruz. That is the actual quote from
that
an
is
aide.
Awesome.
He frequently mutters, I hate that guy. Senator Ted Cruz. Again.
Individual politicians can choose to say whatever they want. They can launch whatever personal insults they want. I would note in the House that the Republicans, including those who have criticized me, voted to defund Obamacare. And in the Senate, I think the votes are very fluid.
Is it only me that his voice is just like a dental drill?
It kind of sounds like someone who kind of passed puberty without the voice changing.
Yeah, exactly. Like he's phoning it in from Tel Aviv.
Yeah.
Right.
Tel Aviv.
Okay, one more time.
Yeah. If they want to insult me, they can knock themselves out. My focus is on the substance, on stopping Obamacare. Why? Because it's hurting the American people.
Yeah, even though he's admitted that it can't be done, but right. I'm just doing it to be a douche. Yeah, that's what a government is supposed to be about. Ech. Okay, 17 minutes after the hour, back with all the latest on this as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
I'm freaking for my little baby, cause she makes me feel good. She's so fine.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Michael Tomosky of the Daily Beast joins us at the bottom of the hour. Jim Ward joins us now. Good morning, Jim. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Okay, this is the final sign the world has gone insane.
What?
Now I don't feel so bad about not being a parent. Yesterday I was feeling like a loser for some reason. There is a baby DJ school. That's a thing, and it's happening.
What? They don't have the motor skills to do that.
Baby DJ school stretches hipster parenting tropes to a breaking point, is the headline. Samantha Faez beamed as her one-year-old son, Julian, eagerly danced and pressed buttons on the DJ console. He loves gangster rap.
I bet.
It's a thing. It's a baby with headphones.
And what sort
Your
of medication are they putting in their bottles now?
I don't know. This is an ad. Baby DJ School empowering super young to mix music that is super dope. Eight week course for ages
super
0 to 3.
Dope.
Super dope. Ages it's 0
a bit
to 3.
The spot. It went up the water spout, yo!
Began September 18th at in Brooklyn, New York. Home of Baby DJ School.
Oh,
okay.
My God.
So that's happening, and we're all letting it.
They also have Baby CrossFit School.
CrossFit? Even,
which combines two things I hate, babies and CrossFit. God.
Your job is at risk now to a 0-year-old. As soon as they have the muscle
swing
control
the kettlebell,
to
Billy.
Punch a button.
Exactly. Oh, God, great.
Oh boy.
This kettlebell weighs more than
babies
you, Billy.
And kettlebells just don't mix. Whatever. I'm sorry.
Not even a more cowbell is going to help that. Brian in Asheville.
More cowbell.
North Carolina. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm so glad I found your show. It's hilarious.
I enjoy it myself.
Yeah, I was just wondering why the Republicans got their panties in such a wad for, you know, getting rid of Obamacare when Americans can really use it, you know, especially the poor ones.
Yeah,
it's also passed the House and the Senate and approved by the Supreme Court.
Right, mm-hmm.
So there's really not much basis for trying to.
Jim Ward, voice expert, is it me, or is it more like a dental drill, Ted Cruz's voice, or like a gnat, maybe?
Individual politicians can choose to say whatever they want. They can launch whatever personal insults they want.
You're a douche.
I would note in the House that the Republicans, including those who have criticized me, voted to defund Obamacare. And in the Senate, I think the votes are very fluid.
It's like a mosquito that wakes you up in the middle of the night and goes away and comes back again just as you're falling back
right,
asleep.
You're almost asleep.
It's Ted Cruz again.
I think the votes are. It's like a mosquito has mated with Jay Leno. Something.
Yeah. Oh, Caroline. Yeah, get Sharon Osbourne.
I think the votes are very fluid. Okay, Dave in Indiana. The only way I can survive Ted Cruz sound bites is to mock them.
Yeah.
Hello, Dave.
Hello, Steffi. How are you?
Good, sir. How are you?
Well, I'm good. I gotta tell you, I've been listening to these shows for a long time. I'm 49 years old. I don't like to listen to Rush, but I mean, you know what? I voted Democrat. I voted Republican, and then vice versa.
You're an independent who likes to visit, who likes to listen to both sides.
No. Well, yeah, I do.
Are you by chance? Are you a small business owner?
No, I am. No, I'm not.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not.
Oh,
I'll tell you, it's amazing to me. The Kool-Aid that is being consumed by both of these parties and their supporters.
Yes, because both sides are the same, really. Don't you think in this whole shutting the government down over defunding a law that's been passed 3.5 years ago? Yeah. Both sides are kind of at fault, right?
Maybe one Democrat would like to shut the government down.
Well, you know, let's face it. It didn't help when Pelosi said, let's pass the bill and then we can read it and find out what
that's not what she said.
No, she didn't say that.
Well,
that's not what
she said. She didn't say that at all, that those words weren't uttered?
No, they were used and twisted to make it sound like she had not read the bill. Do you really believe that Nancy Pelosi did not read the Affordable Care Act?
Well, as long as it was, I don't think she had time.
I'm sure that's it.
Was in it. My question is this. My 16-year-old daughter the other day said, you know, you watch some of these shows on TV, both on CNBC, you look at the media and radio. She goes, how can both of these sides be right? Every one of them says they're liars. My point
right.
Is,
well, both sides can't be right. Republicans are factually incorrect on most matters.
There we go.
Marsha, what's her name? Marsha Blackburn, the Republican Tea Party senator from Tennessee. She was on Meet the Press, and she said to David Gregory, as much as the president wants it, we're not going to have a government shutdown.
And
do you think that is a true statement? Do you think the president wants a government shutdown?
No, I do not.
Okay, thank you.
I do not, but he
also... thank you. Goodbye. All right. Oh, oops. Sorry. Get me a baby DJ to fix
sides.
These phone lines. Hello. Hello. I like to... I have
I got to fix phone lines.
Daddy, how can both sides be right? It doesn't... Huh?
So they must both be wrong.
Right? I don't get it. Aren't they... Aren't both sides the same?
Aren't you a small business owner?
Oh, my God, Dad. I don't get it. Okay, well...
Do we need to spray Trollbegon again?
We've sprayed too much on. We're starting to get a film, a waxy buildup.
My favorite was the guy that called yesterday and said, my dentist just 20 minutes ago received a call from Obamacare.
Hello, this is Obamacare calling. Did you know that death panels might be good for you?
Or no, didn't he send a letter? And I said, from who? Obamacare. Oh,
that's
a person.
Knock, knock. Who's there? Obamacare.
It's like Landshark now. Oh, and he just, how convenient, 20 minutes before my show ends. Obamacare.
Hello?
Just came to deliver bad news.
We're coming to take your grandparents.
You could inform our listeners of right before the end of the show. Thank you. What important timing for both of us. Okay. Let's go to Bob in Phoenix. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Bob.
Hey there, Steph. This is Bob, your official progressive truck driver in Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, hello now. Can you honk your horn for me, please?
Oh, I'd love to.
Thanks.
Oh, yeah!
Okay. I'm happy now.
I heard you wrong, and you have to correct me if so, but I'm under the impression that Governor Finger-Wagging Brewer in Arizona has gone with... progressive
you know what she has. I stand corrected.
With Obamacare, and she's going to join the...
Yes.
We have that available to us in October. Yet I heard, I think one of the moves mentioned that you should be feeling bad about Arizona.
Well, there are many reasons to feel bad about Arizona.
No, he meant a lot of other reasons.
Yeah.
Including the whiny Razorbacks.
Right, but she is getting a lot of guff from her Tea Party supporters for supporting the exchanges in Obamacare.
See how cranky I was when I came in, and now what? A truck horn and Michael Tomasky in the same hour.
Yay!
Everything's good again. Yay! It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Hello, Mr. Beaver.
Mister?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Sigh. Why, it's always a magical day when I get to talk to my future husband, Michael Tomosky, who I'd like to date and kiss and marry. Good morning, Michael.
Hey.
As, by the way, as I've said before, Mrs. Tomosky can suck eggs. I'm sure she's lovely. However, let's talk about your new piece. Because you have, as usual, an interesting spin. I mean, we all make fun of John Boehner, but you say John Boehner is letting GOP extremists hold the government hostage. How could he allow the spending bill, the funding Obamacare, to reach the House floor? He's not even tried to standing up to the GOP's hostage takers, and he's easily the worst speaker in modern history. But you go into you know, because a lot of people go, oh, I feel bad for him, and you explain why not, right?
Yeah, no, check your sympathy at the door, people, please. I mean, can you imagine, really? I mean, we accept this because we expect, you know, maximum crazy out of these people. So we just kind of accept this, and they, you know, they've defined everything down.
Yeah.
And so nothing shocks us anymore. But I would just ask your listeners, could you imagine Sam Rayburn, Tip O'Neill, Nancy Pelosi, I bet even Gingrich. Could you imagine any of these people letting that get to the floor? I'm pretty sure even Gingrich, they would have just said, no way. That's unserious. It's silly. It's stupid. We look ridiculous. We look extreme. We look totally obstructionist. And there's just no way that's going to happen.
And interesting, you bring up that point. And it's true. It's this, you know, we just had one of these callers that pretended to be like, oh, I voted Democrat. Which you know is a troll thing right away, but literally like, oh, I like to listen to both sides, but this literally both sides are to blame for this. It drives me insane. You say if Nancy Pelosi had threatened a government shutdown over some law when George Bush was president, as you say, oh, the thunderation we've had heard, which I never heard that word. That was spectacular.
Yeah,
thank you.
No, that
thunderation.
Be, well, never mind. The etymology isn't that interesting.
But, I mean, you know, you say it best. You say it's totally outrageous that a Speaker of the House of Representatives would even allow such a measure to get to the floor. The Speaker is the second most important person in the country in terms of making the country work. He's more important than the Senate leader because spending bills, as we know, must originate in the House. And the House, which is in theory closer to the people, was always envisioned as the body that could do more to drive the nation's legislative agenda. And you say it's not for nothing. Speaker of the House, third in line to be president. And as you point out, he's not supposed to agree with the president, but he's supposed to agree that the government should exist and do affirmative things.
Exactly. I mean, he's got a very big responsibility, that he or she, whoever the Speaker of the House is. And, you know, it's to govern and it's to pass spending bills. It's to do exactly what they're not doing now. At bare minimum, pass spending bills. There are 13 appropriations bills to fund the 13 different arms of the federal government. And if you do nothing else, at least pass those. But, you know, here we are, and he lets his crazy caucus play games with this, and it's going to go on and on and on. You know, I doubt that there's going to be a shutdown, because what they're going to probably do, Stephanie, as I'm sure you know, is just come up with a temporary patch, you know, a continuing resolution that'll fund the government until December 15th, and then we'll go through all this again on December 15th, and then they'll do it until February 1st, and then they'll do it until, you know, April 30th, and then,
the way,
you know. And
the way you just said that, this is going to go on and on, you made me realize the Republicans are our fatal attraction.
I'm not
going to
be ignored!
They will not be ignored. This will go on and on and on until we live up to our responsibilities to defund Obamacare. You're right, it is that terrifying. And you say, this is a speaker who's permitted 40 votes on repealing a duly passed law, who then agreed to let extremists hold the operation of the entire government hostage to a fantasy. And as you say, Obamacare is not being defunded. Even Ted Cruz knows it. I mean, this is why, I don't know, we played this soundbite, but this is so disingenuous.
Individual politicians can choose to say whatever they want. They can launch whatever personal insults they want. I would note in the House that the Republicans, including those who have criticized me, voted to defund Obamacare. And in the Senate, I think the votes are very fluid.
Really? Really? He knows
very
they don't
fluid.
Have the votes in the Senate, right, Michael?
Yeah.
I mean,
no, but, you know, in a sense, they are fluid, I guess. I mean, I'm very interested to watch, and this is probably going to be my next column for those who care about such things.
I do.
Probably going to, how many Republican senators are going to vote for the so-called clean continuing resolution? Yeah, that doesn't defund Obamacare. That's the one. That's what Harry Reid's going to put forward, right? The House passed its bill over to the Senate. The Senate is going to strip out the defunding health care part and pass what they're calling a clean CR, continuing resolution. So how many Republicans are going to vote for that? About half of the Republicans in the Senate have said something like, defunding Obamacare is a daft idea, and we can't shut the government down over that. So are half the Republicans going to vote for it? Well, I sincerely doubt it.
But
it'll pass. But you know.
What you say is going to happen, Michael, here in your column, is the Senate's going to go send the House, as you just said, a clean spending bill without the defunding, and then Boehner, being held, you know, hostage as usual by his wingers, you say, is going to respond with some ridiculous counter, like dropping the defunding demand but substituting it a plank that cancels out the fines Obamacare would impose on people who refuse to participate, as you say, white meat in lieu of red meat. And then you say in the end he'll probably have to allow some kind of vote to keep the government open unless he can drastically alter public opinion in a week. He knows his party's going to be blamed for the shutdown, so he'll probably let a vote happen even if it means breaking the Hastert rule. That's how you're still seeing it play out.
I guess so, yes. I don't think once the Senate passes that, sends that bill back to the House, first of all, it's going to be late because the Senate rules and there have to be a certain amount of hours for debate and so forth. So it's going to be this weekend before the Senate probably takes its final vote. And then, you know, midnight next Monday, Monday night, Tuesday morning is the deadline, right?
And then let's try to predict whether Ted Cruz is going to act like a showboaty grandstanding douche and filibuster on the floor.
Interesting. I don't think he can filibuster. I don't think the rules are such that. And McConnell has already said he's not going to let him do it. So any senator can do what they want if they really have a mind to do it. But I think a filibuster would be difficult to undertake at this point. So, Cruz is an interesting question too. Like, is he going to come out of this looking like to the hard shell base? Is he going to come out of this looking like somebody who made big promises and couldn't deliver? Or is he going to look like a martyr who, you know, did his best?
Well, and the best Tomasky-esque line in this week, you say, we are into crazy sand up to our rib cages. You say, compared with Pelosi, Boehner really is a Nancy boy. You were saying that, like, Pelosi would never have allowed this, would have stood up to her. And I think you also make another good point that even the farthest left people in her caucus are not as far to the left as these people are to the right. I mean, you're right?
No, they're not. I mean, you know, Barbara Lee, has her beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
She's probably about as left as they go, I suppose. But she doesn't want to destroy the government, you know.
Right.
She doesn't want to wreck Washington, D.C. Even when George Bush is president, she cast her vote against the Patriot Act. But you know, she didn't try to. She and people who felt like her didn't try to bring the government to its knees. I mean, it's just insane.
Yeah.
But it is a good point of comparison because you know, imagine if Pelosi had held up a spending bill trying to get Bush's tax cuts that had already been passed repealed. I mean, she'd have been called. You can't imagine.
Yeah, exactly. The saddest part is the end of your piece, Michael. You say that will mark the beginning of the end of his speakership. We'll have another 14 months. If this were Hollywood, he'd give the great, noble Jefferson Smith speech, tell his crazies where to stuff it, dedicate himself to the passage of bipartisan immigration reform, and go out with a little dignity. But it's not Hollywood. It's Washington. Boehner doesn't want to make any great moral points. He wants to get the hell out of there, go to K Street, make a few million a year, spend more time golfing. Taking moral stands can only impede that greasy path. And I have to say, you know, my dad, as you know, was in Congress, and that's the part that I just think is disgusting. I mean, even after my dad ran for vice president, he was never going to be a lobbyist. He would not have done that. You know,
he
got out, and he got out. I mean, it's just, I don't know who these people are today. You're right. I mean, they have no, you're right, he's not going to make any moral point. He's going to make.
First of all, I didn't know that was your dad. You have kind of different politics.
Yes,
a little bit.
So that's pretty
just
interesting.
A little bit.
But, you know, bravo to you, bravo to him. But no, it just wasn't like that in those days. I mean, my favorite anecdote along those lines in the 70s, Jamie Whitten was this old line Mississippi Democrat, pretty conservative, you know, not certainly progressive on all matters, but yeah. he was the head of the House Armed Services Committee, or the Defense Appropriations Subcommittee, I forget which. But at some point, when money started to really take over Capitol Hill, somebody suggested to him that he should raise money for his reelection campaigns from defense contractors. And he looked at them like they had just said that, you know, he should go,
right.
do something, you know, like molest somebody. He looked at them and said, are you kidding? That would be completely unethical. I do business with these people. I couldn't take money from them.
Yeah. I mean, well. I've often said, Michael, I can't imagine what my dad would think of Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
I mean, to lose the, you know, running for vice president and get some cheesy reality show. I mean, she's a shameless, they're shameless grifters. They really are. And then you say the scariest thing in your piece, you say the bad news, his successor will be far worse. It's just,
yeah.
That's, and you wonder, like, what has to, does this party have to implode entirely? Or what, how, do you know what I'm saying? Like, how much more extreme can they get?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I think you have to lose 3 presidential elections. And if they lose 3, they're probably going to lose 4, right?
Yeah.
Because it's if you know who is the incumbent president seeking re-election in 2020.
She who shall not be named. Right.
Yeah, she would probably
don't
be
say it 3 times.
So, you know, you got to lose 3 or 4 in a row probably. 2 is not quite enough medicine.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, it appears that way, particularly if we have a candidate, Ted Cruz, right? President. Oy. Michael, terrifying and yet somehow comforting at the same time.
That's my motto.
Yeah. Talk to you soon, Michael. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
All right, there he goes. Michael Tomosky of the Daily Beast. 45 minutes after, now I'm back to being a sad panda.
Oh, maybe he can hold you when you go to New York this weekend.
Oh, there's an idea. Stalking
him
in person.
Mrs. Tomosky think about that.
46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
And it feels like home when you call my name.
Stephanie Miller.
It's like a little prayer. I'm down on my knees. I wanna take you there in the midnight hour. I can feel your power just like a prayer. You know I'll take you there.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Great piece by Michael Tomosky about how John Boehner is the worst speaker ever in the history of ever. Rocky Mountain Mike reminds us that we like to salute him from time to time.
I am just an orange boy, though I'm seldom seen outside. I have squandered my influence for a pocket full of tax cuts for the filthy rich. My eyes get wet, still a man cries when he thinks about which tavern is the best. House floor stands the boner, and he's whining constantly, and the physical cliff reminds him of every boat that's let him down or cost him as he cried out in his anger and his shame. I am weeping, but the bronzer still remains.
The bronzer.
Yeah.
Crying lie. Crying lie, 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 lie.
Rocky Mountain Mike. Now in honor of John Boehner, a story about a tavern.
A tavern? Oh, tavern. Oh, that's another word.
Okay. The headline is, pub owner publicly shames dirty patron after nasty Yelp review. This is a great story. So a guy gave a bar a bad review. He said, I really wanted to like this place, but frankly, it smells. And then he went on and on.
Oh.
The tavern owner wrote back, hi, Mark. Thank you so much for the valuable input. Quick question for you. Which part made it smell worse, the part where we didn't serve you any alcohol or the part where you harassed the female staff by exposing your chest hair in lieu of showing your ID? Next time you want a Miller Lite, please bring the appropriate ID that's required when you go to a bar and we'll gladly serve you. The bar owner admitted on Reddit that she was behind the response to Mark G, and she also offered a free beer to anyone who came into the Ten Bells Tavern and declared Mark G is a male organ.
Oh, nice.
Nicely done.
Well played.
Well played, ma'am. Let's go to Carl in Nashville. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carl.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I think Ted Cruz, he reminds me. You remember the character on Green Acres that was always trying to sell you something?
Oh, Mr. Haney.
Was it Mr. Haney?
Oh, Ted Cruz.
That Ted Cruz is Mr. Haney's son. No one is going to make you think any differently. exactly. Go look at those clips. And he looks and sounds just like him.
Yeah.
Look, this is something that's confusing to a lot of people in red states like myself. How do you go about registering with the federal exchanges for the Affordable Health Care Act? Because our governor here in Tennessee is not taking it. So we're going to have to, if you get Obamacare, you're going to have to do it through the federal exchanges.
Right,
how do you go about doing that?
Well, the federal government is just going to run it. The exchanges are going to happen in every state one way or another, mm-hmm. You know, whether it doesn't matter. It's just, I mean, that's the, you know, the real irony of it, Carl, is that mm-hmm. these are the ones that are calling this big government health care, which it isn't. But
right.
They're refusing to do it, so guess who has to do it? The government.
Yeah.
I mean, the states are supposed to run their own exchange.
These are the same people that scream, Tenth Amendment, states' rights, states' rights.
Right.
But now they want the government to come in and run the exchange. So,
yeah, they're like toddlers having tantrums. And like we were saying, what we're going to find is it's going to run a lot better in states that are being helpful, and then the other states are going to be shamed right. into it. And I think they know that's what's going to happen. But, you know,
how do one go about finding the exchanges?
Healthcare.gov.
Yeah. Jackie always says healthcare.gov. I mean, you'll be able to sign up, Carl, and you should. And you know, the good news is it will be run better, as Jackie told us, by the federal government than a state government that doesn't want to run it, that's being obstructionist about it anyway. So that's the good news. Let's go to Vicki in Austin. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Vicki.
Hi, this is Vicki. Thank you for taking my call. Just a word about what it's like to live in Ted Cruz's Texas.
Oh, dear. I'm so sorry.
We have a growing number of homeless children and families. They don't get health care. They miss school. The children miss school because they have health issues, a lot of toothaches, untreated diabetes. Living in Ted Cruz, Texas, is knowing that your politicians absolutely do not care.
Yeah.
And
he seems to care. I mean, he seems to care only about himself. I mean, that's why even Republicans hate him. He's just everybody recognizes that guy. He's just that showboaty, grandstanding mm-hmm. blowhard. As John McCain told GQ, he hates Cruz.
Which is
Cruz
awesome.
In the GQ profile told the magazine that conservatives were embarrassed to vote in 2008, the year that McCain was the nominee. He said, I didn't know a conservative who didn't feel embarrassed voting in 2006 or 2008. I think the Republican Party lost its way. We didn't stand for the principles we're supposed to believe in. Yeah, well, wait and see how embarrassed they'll be to vote for Ted Cruz as the nominee in 2016. Oh, my God.
May single-handedly bring back rickets.
Would you like some fun facts from the GQ article?
Sure.
On Ted Cruz? These are the most enjoyable things we learned. I don't know who compiled this. He does sound like that. Dental drill or a mosquito. Cruz has argument boots, a pair of ostrich boots that he's worn every time he's argued a case, even before this.
Wow, that's weird.
Okay.
In his office hangs a massive oil painting of Cruz.
Oh.
Who doesn't have a massive oil painting of themselves? During his first oral argument before the Supreme Court, a case he lost, he'll commission someone to do a giant oil painting of him losing the presidency in a landslide.
With his loser ostrich boots.
Oh, I love this. He says it's to keep him grounded. Which is what? Totally what life-size oil paintings of yourself are for.
Right.
To keep you grounded. And your...
No, that's statues of yourself.
Oh.
Like, you know, 40-foot tall statues. Yeah. That, oh, that the, keeps you grounded.
This just gets better and better. Humble. Some more Ted Cruz fun facts as we continue. And Charlie Pierce, much more from Esquire.com on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, the president getting ready to speak to the UN. They're saying if he shakes hands with Rouhani, the Iranian president, that'll be the story today.
Yeah,
right.
And then, Jim says tongue too far.
Yeah, that's too far. That's just
too much. Not hand holding like
no.
George Bush.
Not in the face.
Saudis. Not in the face.
If that happens, the 10 stories will drop off.
Just, right.
You know, without even John Bolton.
Right.
Saying boo.
Right. Do you think Lindsey Graham will run between them and try to?
Oh, must know.
No, we must bomb them.
This is not a man. A thing to do.
Yeah, I was reading this story, by the way, right as this is getting ready to happen, and I just thought, just let Obama handle it. Don't stop with the... lawmakers set high bar for Iran to escape sanctions despite apparent olive branch from the president.
Oh, dear. You okay over there?
I know, hey, I'm like, yes. Pardon me. An olive branch from Iran's president has raised hopes of a nuclear thaw, but two top senators have told Obama they're nowhere near ready to lift sanctions. Could the president get a little help from the backstage crew? I mean, could the Syria thing for now have gone better? Just do you remember that sign during the election about chill out, mother? I got this.
Yeah.
Let him just do.
Let him president.
Right. Let him do his president, and for God's sakes, the this is in
peace has broken out.
Daily Beast.
It's
possible that Hassan Rouhani, Iran's new president, who has been making diplomatic overtures in recent days, will meet with Obama on the sidelines of the UN General Assembly. We'll see what happens today. Senator Robert Menendez, who I normally like, but is being unhelpful, I think, in this regard, has joined with a noted Southern belle, Lindsey Graham.
Oh.
And wrote in a letter to President Obama, Iran is not a friend whose word can be taken as a promise.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, boy. It goes on to say the test of Iranian seriousness must be verifiable action by Iran to terminate its nuclear weapons program, including compliance with the mandates of the UN Security Council resolutions. From the perspective of prior Iranian nuclear negotiations, that is a particularly high bar. Iranian negotiators in the past have asserted Iran's right to peaceful enrichment. I mean... They were saying that the president did more with this letter of congratulations to him than we've probably seen in many, many years in terms of starting a dialogue. If Obama seeks to take advantage of Rouhani's outreach, he will need support from Congress that appears unconvinced about the new Iranian president's charm offensive. Well, okay, but as I just said, let him president a little bit. He just, I think, with Syria, did our nation's Cuban Missile Crisis. Just get, shush.
Our generations.
Right.
Know
what I'm saying.
Sure.
Tommy Vietor, who left his post earlier this year as spokesman for the White House National Security Staff, warned Monday that Obama should be given some flexibility to explore it.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of the same thing we've given every president, the ability to do some presidenting. The Supreme Leader, Khamenei, who is more powerful than President Rouhani, will not prostrate himself before the West. We need a face-saving option. For that to happen, there has to be some political space for negotiation. Sometimes toughness on foreign policy boils down to how many adjectives you use to denounce the Iranian regime in a press release. That's a ridiculous way to conduct foreign policy. For now, Menendez and Graham are urging Obama to use his speech today before the UN as a way to warn Iran that military force remains an option. Okay, well... You know what somebody was talking about? David Frum. Ugh.
He's good sometimes, though.
Sometimes he makes sense.
Yes.
Right, but he's the one that wrote the speech when George W. Bush called Iran an axis of evil. And somebody wrote a piece today saying, do you know how many years that set us back using that one? And he was proud of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's shattered all chances of any kind of, Okay. Corky in Rochester, hello. Good morning. Hi, Corky.
Hello, Stephanie. Hi. Yeah, I want to thank the GOP for taking all responsibility away from me. I've been teetering around the edge of solvency bankruptcy, but they shut the government down. They made my mind up. You know where I'm going.
Where are you going?
Bankruptcy.
Oh, I see. Yeah, if they shut the government down. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
They're helpful in that regard, in every regard, aren't they?
Great.
Thanks. Thanks for everything. Oh, hey, looky here. By the way, all y'all's paid callers, just before you call, I already have this story. I already have this talking point, so don't bother with the call about... the latest anti-Obamacare article to go viral is totally wrong. So if you're about to call and say, Stephanie, I just got out of surgery, and I wanted to tell you whatever, however the call starts. An article published by Forbes claiming Obamacare will increase health care costs by $7,450 for a typical family of four is spreading like wildfire across the internet and causing eye rolls from economists around the country. One of them saying it was like the stupidest calculation, the way it was done, of anything he's ever seen.
But it was on the internet. It must be true.
Right. Let's get back to our favorite fun facts about Ted Cruz as we learn from the latest GQ article, shall we? The gnat-like Ted Cruz. Okay, we just learned before the break that he has a massive oil painting of himself hanging in his office.
Sure.
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
But it's not about him. It's all about public service. He memorized a mnemonic version of the Constitution and performed it at Texas civic clubs along with friends as the constitutional corroborators. Would you seriously rather have that or like a 9-hour root canal?
What, did he do like a poetry slam of the Constitution or something?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Oh, really?
God, really?
He read from the Second Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Second Amendment, and the Second Amendment.
And also the Second Amendment. And here's my rendering of the Second Amendment. As a law school at Harvard, he refused to study with anyone who hadn't been an undergrad at Harvard, Princeton, or Yale.
Oh, God.
He said he didn't want anybody from minor Ivies like Penn or Brown.
Oh my God.
Elitist douche.
Minor Ivies.
Yeah. Let's tell about Jackie that next time she's on. She went to Penn.
Hot Bree.
Yeah. They both went to Penn. You only went to a minor Ivy. Oh, pardon me. Nose in the air. Little rat-like nose in the air. As a legal scholar for the second Bush, he liked to send out summaries of his accomplishments, which one coworker compared to the cards people send about their families at Christmas, except Ted's were only about him, and they were more frequent. He seriously may be the douchiest senator.
Wow.
Ew.
Did you just use intellectual and Bush, too, in the same sentence?
Right.
Wow.
Right. No, as a legal scholar, I said.
Legal
Bush.
Scholar. Yes.
Do we need any more scholars than George W. Bush himself?
Chuck it all. Boom!
People love to compare him to birds. John McCain, as we know, famously labeled him a wacko bird. And then another called him a peacock.
Okay.
Later, Jim Kessler calls him a rooster, taking credit for the sunrise. Even his fans can't seem to name a single legislative accomplishment of his or praise any particular action he's taken. Oh, and as I mentioned before, John McCain hates him. But we already knew that.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, speaking of George W., he's poor President Obama. He's like his only defender these days, and it's only about golf. George W. Bush defends Obama from conservative critics.
Aww.
President Obama has been criticized by conservatives for fill in the blank for everything, who've expressed their frustration with his frequent golf outings.
Now watch this drive.
An interview for the Golf Channel, former President George W. Bush.
That hotbed of journalism.
Right. He's still such a dude.
According to the Wall Street Journal and the Golf Channel.
So only the Golf Channel gets interviews with him anymore?
He doesn't care. He called these criticisms unfounded, saying he is familiar with the pressures of the job. Bush added that, particularly when you're doing it that badly.
Sure.
He added he thought it was good for the president to be out playing golf. Well, as opposed to riding their bike into Scottish policemen.
Yeah.
Like George W. Bush was wont to do.
You broke my foot, you idiot!
I would have given anything to watch that little incident.
Yeah.
He did. He ran over
a Scottish policeman.
Fantastic.
Because he is a... Oh, speaking of Dick Cheney. Speaking of the Bush-Cheney years, which we all remember so fondly. Well, here's good news for somebody. His gun malfunctioned during a hunting competition.
Oh, good. So
yeah.
Nobody was shot
no,
at.
No, no.
Okay.
Nobody had to apologize for getting in the
maybe someone took out the firing
way.
Pin.
Somebody's like, I am not really.
Not hunting with that guy.
Can you imagine being invited to go hunting with Dick Cheney? You're just like,
no.
That kind of thing. With him.
Yeah.
A gun malfunction.
I think I'm going to go run on the freeway.
Yeah.
My odds are better.
Oh, this is a really sad story.
Oh.
It kept Vice President Dick Cheney's team from having a chance at the one-shot antelope hunt title. Oh, that's sad.
Oh.
Good news for some antelope, but... an unlucky mishap
he shot
that,
a cantaloupe
earned him,
by mistake.
That earned him mockery from the other. What did you say?
He shot a cantaloupe by mistake.
Sorry, Dick, you don't get any points for that.
It got in my way.
It earned him mockery from other coming. With other contestants. The two other members of Cheney's team both hit their bucks. Cheney's shot never fired.
See, someone stole the firing.
The captain of the other team said the good news is the gun didn't work and nobody got hurt.
Oh, you see.
Openly mocking Dick Cheney. As we recall, in 2006, Cheney was shot Texas trial lawyer Harry Whittington.
Yes.
Was his name during a quail hunting
sorry,
trip.
I got my face in the way of your shot.
He still has birdshot pellets lodged in his
nice.
Face and neck. Cheney has apparently never apologized.
Huh.
But as you mentioned, Harry Whittington did.
Yes, he apologized for getting his face in the way of Dick Cheney's shot.
How terrifying must Dick Cheney be? You have to go on TV. What, did Dick Cheney make him? Go apologize.
You better apologize to me.
Stupid clumsy
face. You never know. Sometimes guns just go off.
All right. So that happened. All right. 17 minutes after the hour, we roll along. Charlie Pierce coming up as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ongoing train wreck aside, I love this.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, everybody, just stay safe out there. Bill Clinton has learned how to tweet a selfie.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to talk to Anthony Weiner about how.
No.
All right.
Yeah. No, he was at the Clinton Global Initiative with Bill Gates.
Okay,
and
well.
Someone taught him how to tweet a selfie with, you know, where you hold the camera out at arm's length. And,
Look at me, with Bill Gates. Look at this.
Look at that. That's Bill Gates. Damn.
Yeah. Double bills, look. Okay. Can Instagram be far behind?
Oh, boy.
Now look at this. Okay. Just random things around the house.
Yeah.
Damn, Hillary's never here to clean. Look at the size of this lint ball. Okay.
Here's my Sports Illustrated shoe phone.
Okay. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Charlie Pierce coming up at the bottom of the hour. Wow. Looky here. House Democrats raise big money off Republican push to defund Obamacare.
Uh-huh.
Maybe there is a silver lining. The Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee raised more than $840,000 online contributions since the Boehner announced last week that Republicans would include a measure to strip funding from the Affordable Care Act. Republican groups, as we mentioned last week, have done their own fundraising off their push to defund Obamacare. And you know why that is?
Why?
Because they have all dopes on their side. Because they're literally sending money for something that cannot be done. It's the, what is it called? The Senate Conservatives Fund.
Right.
You know who's involved in that? Jim DeMint.
Oh.
And his little junior DeMints. That are, he's the head of the Heritage Foundation now.
Sure.
Yeah,
he rears his minty head again.
Right. They had their best off election year fundraising ever in August while running its Don't Fund Obamacare website because, as I mentioned, they have a bunch of dope. I wonder what else I bet you they've also fall for the Nigerian lottery schemes and stuff like that, don't you think? Literally, they got some dopes to part with their money in this economy because
a Nigerian prince had $100,000 he wanted to.
Right. Can I get a Russian wife with that?
Duh.
Okay, William...
But her name is Sergey.
Her name is Sergey.
By the way, William writes, Steph, I just heard a clip of Ted Cruz accusing Harry Reid of wanting to shut down the government, and the NBC News announcer affirmed this. What kind of BS is this? What kind of news dopes are parroting the Cruz talking points, WTF? Yeah, that's what I was saying. David Gregory let Marsha Blackburn get away with that, too. We're not going to shut down the government as much as the president wants to. Okay.
All right, then. Fair enough.
Right. Sure.
What? No.
Okay. It's just both sides are the same. Both sides are the same. Okay. Oh, by the way, thanks a lot, Nevada. Thanks for the mental patients.
Yeah. Wow.
First of all, they tried to send one to the Senate, Sharon Angle. That didn't work. So now... Nevada is sued for solving overcrowding at mental hospitals by putting patients on a Greyhound to California.
Yeah, one-way ticket.
Thanks, Nevada. Thanks a
lot.
Wow. Around the overrun state mental health campuses in Las Vegas, staff psychologists sometimes call the decision to relieve overcrowding via a one-way bus ticket Greyhound therapy. That nice?
They can't get their own house in order in Nevada, so they push their problems upon their neighbors.
Right.
I've been to Greyhound terminals. There are enough crazy people there already.
Right. I mean,
well, now you know why.
Right. They do give them a sack lunch, so that's the compassionate part of the compassionate.
It's just a sack. There's no lunch.
There's no. You're supposed to eat the sack. The sack is lunch.
That's a little parting joke. There's something in there.
They don't eat the sack because they don't know any better.
Ha ha, now you're hungry and crazy. Nevada governor.
That was awful.
This is the kind of compassionate conservatism that I'm talking about. Nevada Governor Brian Sandoval's office at first denied a problem even existed. Then he downplayed the matter, issued a standard political bromide.
We're sorry if anybody crazy was offended.
He said it's not the policy of the state of Nevada to engage in patient dumping, as has been alleged by some. Rather, patients have a right and a desire to return home to their friends and families.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But they were sent to cities where they have no friends or family.
Right, right.
Like
exactly.
Sacramento.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's the Sacramento Bee's been reporting.
Yeah.
When the Bee reported that some 1,500 patients were given Greyhound therapy since July 2008, Sandoval's spin team shifted gears. Denial morphed into looks of concern. Oh, this is troubling. This is troubling. Now we must look into this. Huh. He's also, by the way, been touted by national Republican officials as a potential vice presidential pick.
Oh, good.
Isn't that
wow.
Nice? Oh, boy. Okay. All right. The president commenting on the tragedy in Kenya.
We stand with them against this terrible outrage that's occurred.
Okay. And by the way, we were saying the latest development were Americans among the mall attackers, which Somalia's Al Qaeda affiliate says three Americans joined its assault on the upscale shopping mall in Nairobi. All have Somali-sounding names. Two of them have alleged to be from the Minnesota St. Paul area, which has a large Somali.
From what I read, the FBI is looking into various mosques in the Minneapolis St. Paul area.
Home to a large Somali-American community from which Al-Shabaab has been actively seeking to recruit in the past, is what they're saying. The two-day assault and siege on the upscale mall is the single biggest attack in Kenya since the Al-Qaeda cell bombed the U.S. Embassy in Nairobi in 1998, as we recall, killing more than 200 people.
Yeah.
So this is bad stuff. The president, again.
All of us, as an international community, have to stand against the kind of senseless violence that these kinds of groups represent.
And the Kenyan Interior Minister yesterday.
Our gallant forces are in control. Our resolve to defend our country has never been higher. And we want to say that we will take the war to the criminals' doorsteps. This is our country. We are in control of the security situation.
And gee, did Lindsey Graham take a moment to express condolences for what the tragedy going on in Kenya?
Oh, God, no.
No, he used it to play politics.
There's a perfect storm building for this country to get hit. We got a weak president, a war-weary public, emboldened enemies, shaky allies.
Right, right. Only one thing to do now, bomb Iran. What?
We need something more manly, but no shaky allies.
Senator Butch Me Up.
Right. Senator Butch Me Up is worried about the weak president.
Oh, my panties are definitely in a twist.
Oh, God. All right.
He really is like Blanche Devereaux on The Golden Girls.
He is. Or Blanche DuBois. He's like every Blanche ever.
Yes.
He makes me bland. All right. 29 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Sympathize with y'all. Donna makes me listen to
Stephanie Miller
on XM Radio 19 hours a day. I tried to kill myself by swallowing a nail clipper, but I passed it.
34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Tuesday, one of our favorites. There's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce. Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Woohoo! Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Hi, guys. It's nice to be back. We're greeted with a triumphant flourish of the sound machine.
That's right. Welcome back.
Welcome back from Ireland.
Thank you. You know what they're doing over there? It's a very cool thing. On October 5th, they're going to vote to get rid of their Senate.
Wow!
Really? So they're going to be unicameral?
Can we do that?
They're going to vote to get rid of the upper house, which is of course obviously a lot different from ours. It's,
right.
It doesn't have any kind of power. But I thought, you know, gee, if anybody over here gets wind of that.
Yeah. Right. Wow. So, that's how we deal with the House of Representatives.
So it's basically their House of Lords, if you
yeah,
will.
Yeah, sort of. Okay. I mean, some of the members of it are appointed. It can't do anything to laws except approve them or advise on them. So.
Yeah. By the way, hot off the press is in my hot little hands right now, just this morning from Esquire.com. Things in Politico that make me want to guzzle antifreeze part the infinity. And you have put my frustration into words once again. You say there are days when it becomes completely clear that the kids at Tiger Beat on the Potomac, as you call Politico, should be kept away from actual issues for the same reasons we don't give toddlers RPGs. This is one of those days. And, it's interesting because we already had one of our, right-wing, our troll callers saying, it's both sides are to blame here and both sides are the same. I mean, this is part of this narrative now on affordable care.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is why I don't think the Republicans are running as big a risk as a lot of people think they are. I think that whatever happens, the narrative is going to be both sides are,
right.
both sides are doing it. Both sides are at fault. We just need Washington to work again. And then all of a sudden, I guarantee you the deficit people will come out of the woodwork again saying that they're the only people who can work with both sides, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The one thing to watch on this, and I think I blogged about this yesterday, is watch out for the side deals that get cut. Don't concentrate entirely on the Obamacare fight.
Yeah.
Because the sequester is still going to be in place no matter what happens.
Well,
it looks that way now.
Right.
And if there are deals being cut for, say, the Keystone XL pipeline, we should keep an eye on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because otherwise, the noise over the Obamacare thing is going to drown out what's really going on.
Yeah, right, you did blog about this, about the both sides thing, and you say it's important to keep in mind the blog's first law of economics, the deficit. People got no jobs, people got no money. But this is, it's interesting what you say. The story of what has become of the Affordable Care Act, you write today, is the story of the catapulting of the successful propaganda, is the triumph of hogwash set aloft by many hands, is about the same weaponized bull that brought us the murder of Vince Foster, the MENA airport, the president's birth certificate, and Benghazi, Benghazi, Benghazi. It's the great victories for the kind of alternate reality detached from reason politics practiced by modern conservatism. But later in the paragraph, Charlie, you talk about, it's funny, I thought it before you even wrote it, about this is not conservatism anymore. It's nihilism. Right? I mean, it's
right.
It's,
I mean, they're not. I mean, there's no serious plan on offer from the other side. This is about blowing this thing up for the sake of blowing it up. Now, whether you're blowing it up because you don't like the president, or whether you're blowing it up because you don't want it to work because then it will be an advantage, which is the old Bill Kristol argument, or whether you're blowing it up because you think the status quo is wonderful and there's people in the country that you don't think deserve quality health care. You're blowing it up for the sake of blowing it up because there's nothing on offer from the other side.
Right.
The plan that was announced last week is nonsense, and everybody knows it. It's the plan that everybody voted against last, a year ago.
Right.
And a lot of it has to do with the fact that, I saw Bill Kristol said on the weekend shows that all they have to do really is sort of delay the individual mandate. Well, if you delay the individual mandate, the system doesn't work, and he knows that as well as anybody.
Right.
And that's why we have an individual mandate here in Massachusetts.
Right. Right. Yeah. No. Exactly.
Romney care.
But, you know, I love how you, you know, sum up, like, how the media has fallen down on this. You say, like, everyone's to blame, no one's to blame. Let's all go to lunch. I mean, it's, you're right, that's sort of the, I was talking about Marsha Blackburn on Meet the Press, said, you know, oh, well, you know, we're not going to have a shutdown as much as the president wants it.
Yeah, well, yeah, see, that is an argument that is unworthy of being printed.
Right.
The idea that the president is forcing a shutdown because he won't gut his own signature initiative, okay? That's just dumb. There's no reason. There is absolutely no reason to put that in the newspaper just because somebody like Marsha Blackburn says it.
Yeah.
It's contrary to reality.
And apparently someone was just telling me Ted Cruz got away with it this morning, saying, president wants a shutdown, but we're not going to do that. What? What?
Yeah. All he has to do is kill the hostage for us, and then we'll be fine. You know, then we won't have a shutdown, and everybody will have bipartisan happy talk. No, that's not the way it works. Okay. He's not going to do that. Everybody knows he's not going to do that. People keep telling Ted Cruz he's not going to do it. But again, I don't know that they're going to pay the kind of price they ought to pay over this. I'll have to see.
Yeah.
But if they get, you know, if their base is happy, if they get a lot of side deals that they're happy with, if the sequester stays in place, which is essentially, you know, committing the country to austerity without saying it, you know, then, you know, there are enough Republicans, I think, who'll take three quarters of the loaf.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, I saved something from last week you wrote, since you couldn't join us, about, as you call her, Senator Professor Warren, who I know we both love.
I'm the one who brokered the introduction.
I know. Yes. He came over to me at the inauguration at the luncheon. He goes, get up now. I was like, what? What's happening? He's like, you're going to miss Senator Warren.
We're going to chase her down the hallway.
And we did. We chased her down the hallway, and you made the introduction, and I will always love you for that.
Down the hall.
But you talk about what happened with the, you know, that she led a genuine populist uprising of liberal Democratic senators that kicked Larry Summers to the curb.
Yeah, and I mean she's probably the highest profile of them, but and certainly, you know, certainly Jeff Merkley and a couple of other folks, and John Tester, which really surprised me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which you know, I mean, I don't know if it's a head fake, it's a really good one.
But I love that you say, I mean, she, you know, because in this time when we're so, like, sort of down about politics, you say she's doing everything she said she was going to do when she ran. And I love you say whoever he does nominate is going to have a chat with a nice professor in the glasses who's got a few questions she'd like to ask. I mean, that's the thing. It's interesting. Somebody, I think it was Robert Reich, was talking about how this is not constitutional, you know, what they're trying to do. And the example he gave was Glass-Steagall. Even though it's not good, that's how you actually, that's the constitutional way you would have to. Otherwise, they could just defund any law they want. It's not.
No, that's right. I mean, all you need, and this is, you know, this is an argument that they got into during the impeachment thing. All you need is the will. You don't need the law on your side. You don't really need the media on your side. All you need is to be as confident as you can in your base that you have the will to do something, however unpopular, and you can do it.
Yep.
And that's not the way the system was designed to operate. And there are no, you know, safety features. There's no, you know, kind of NASA redundancy in the system to deal with something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically what you've got is a parliamentary party in a non-parliamentary system.
Yeah.
Gumming up the works.
Yep. Well, so Charlie, how do you see this playing out? I mean, it's just we've got literally till, I mean, Monday is when the government would shut down, right?
Yeah, I mean, the scenario that, you know, the conventional wisdom scenario, I think, is the way it's going to play out. You know, that they send the bill over, Harry Reid forces a choice on them they don't want to make, and then it goes back to Boehner, and he has to ask the Democrats for a little help. But again, I think the two most important things are to watch the side deals and also the aftermath, because I don't think the aftermath is going to be as catastrophic as people think it is for the Republicans. I just don't.
You mean if the government doesn't shut down?
If the government shuts down, I don't think the Republicans will get as much blame as they deserve.
Right.
If it doesn't shut down, then nobody will get blame. You know, then everybody will just, you know, wipe the sweat from their forehead and make a very loud shoo and move on.
Mm-hmm.
And there won't be any political price to pay for any of this. And Ted Cruz will run for president.
Oy.
Of
Canada. I'm watching the president speak right now at the UN, and I knew I was quoting someone that I love dearly, Chris. It was Charlie Pierce about reminding us of the George W. Bush Axis of Evil speech that David Frum wrote. You say the Axis of Evil speech brought the meetings to an end. Reformers inside the government.
Now you're quoting Dexter Filkins' piece from The New Yorker.
Yeah.
Don't give me credit for that.
Sorry.
It's a terrific piece in The New Yorker about this very strange opening we had with a guy who's really kind of a brutal military leader in Iran, but who was willing to help us with the Taliban, and there was an opening, you know, obviously if he was willing to do that, there was an opening for further discussions. Then Bush gave the Axis of Evil speech, and the thing blew up.
Yep.
And that, I mean, and that's what we were saying. I mean, that looks like, you know, we have a real chance for progress on this now. And it's just, you know, and on cue, Lindsey Graham, you know, offering a resolution to bomb Iran. And I mean,
Hosam, a citoyen.
What?
Right.
I think
he quoted the Marseillaise.
He did. That took me a second.
But you remind us, this is the kind of bungling out from under which all those former Bush administration flunkies are trying to call. Sorry, gang. We're still only learning how badly you screwed up everything on your watch. Jesus, these people. yeah, I mean, so that's...
Occasionally I have to channel my late mother. I don't know why.
By the way, it was great stuff last week, just, you know, coming from being in overseas and watching our latest gun massacre and, you know,
it was so extraordinarily odd. It was like watching dispatches from another country. I mean, it was like watching dispatches from another reality.
Yeah.
I mean, this stuff doesn't happen anywhere else. I mean, there are terrorist attacks, there are wars breaking out and stuff, but this kind of thing just doesn't happen anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It happened in Australia. They changed all their laws.
Right.
Were you in an Irish pub, and what were some of the comments?
Well, no, I mean, people were asking, you know, people asked me, and I wasn't in a very big town, I was in the market town where my grandmother was from, and, you know, people were wondering, you know, what is the deal with Americans and their guns?
Right, and because they, you know, as many people have pointed out, when it happens over there, they do something about it and change the laws, and then
gradually, when you're trying to explain it to people from other countries, gradually you realize you've talked yourself into absurdity.
Yeah.
Even though you don't believe in the positions of people on the other side, if you try to explain those positions, sooner or later you feel completely absurd.
Right. How do you explain Wayne LaPierre to anybody who, as you know, appeared on cue to say that there were not enough good guys with guns? Of course.
Well, I mean, you know, there are more than a few crazy people walking down the street mumbling in Ireland too. So they're not unfamiliar with the phenomenon.
they work more with car bombs than they do with guns.
Yeah, exactly. Charlie Pierce, great stuff as always.
Hey, we'll see you next week.
All right,
guys.
Sweetheart.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Charlie Pierce, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 50 minutes after the hour.
Some things are not meant for air.
Meant for air. Off air? On air? Okay, 1-800, don't you wish you knew what we were talking about? 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jim in Chicago. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, Stephanie, I was going to say, I'm a life member of the National Rifle Association.
Awesome.
You guys will never beat us. Everything is shifting in our direction. We now have concealed carry in 50 states.
Yes.
Our direction, meaning people that think it's okay that six-year-olds get shot in the face at school?
Yes. Yes.
Terrific. That's awesome.
Okay. No, I don't think it's okay. But it's never going to change, and we are not responsible. You think it's going to change? As long
might as well get up then.
Problem, as long as you have a gang problem, which you're always going to have.
It's the gang.
So the 10,000 gun murders a year we have in the U.S., they're all gang violence?
Yeah, most of them are. Yes,
really?
Are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really? Sure. Do you have those statistics handy?
Well, I live in the city of Chicago.
Oh.
I can see what people, what the victims look like.
From your house.
I can also see what... I'm sorry?
You can see it from your house.
Now, don't be an ass.
You know
what? I'm saying I could see what the victims look like.
Uh-huh.
I could see. What
there's
the
other victims, you know,
like.
that you can't necessarily see that don't live in Chicago, like people at the Navy Yard, the children in Newtown, people in a movie theater in Aurora, Colorado.
I know you guys like to exploit those tragedies.
Well, they happened, and we're trying to keep things like that from happening to other people.
And you want to do it by
exploiting the
tragedy,
taking
our guns away.
Sure.
Why do we have so vastly many more gun murders every year than any other country in the world?
Per capita, even.
Yeah.
Go to Switzerland. Switzerland, and you will see that everybody in Switzerland, 18 to 59, is a member of the militia. And in their home, they are allowed to keep a fully automatic assault rifle and a true assault rifle, not the phony ones that you guys pretend are assault rifles. And they are allowed to keep a handgun for common defense of their nation. They have a much lower crime rate than us. In Mexico, Mexico's crime rate is much higher, and they have much tougher gun control laws.
Japan has even tougher gun control laws than Mexico.
So
and look at their murder rate, which is in the almost in the single digits.
So is it
11? There were 11 gun deaths last year in Japan.
And how many in Mexico with all the gun control laws? How many were there?
We're talking about Japan here, dude.
You just want me to ignore? Yeah. You want to ignore my examples?
Yeah.
No, don't ignore mine.
So why does Japan have such a low?
You think 10,000 gun deaths a year is acceptable? That you don't have any problem with that? You think that's fine?
You know, like Clint Eastwood said, there's nothing wrong with shooting as long as the right people are being shot.
Well, how about in Michigan? Right? How about Michigan? You heard that story just a couple of days ago, right? Two concealed carry permit holders had a road rage incident. They both shot and killed each other.
Okay.
Progress.
Yeah. Is that what you want?
I guess less gun nuts. Okay. But the point is that we're saying we don't think that's a good thing. We think that a lot of these things would be solved, with a different conclusion if people did not have guns, don't you think?
Right. So you want to ban them. Just admit you want to ban them then. Don't be so hypocritical about it and so phony about it.
Well, I do, but I'm not in charge.
Well,
I mean, obviously nobody in government is talking about a ban, and you know that.
But that's what they want.
No, they don't. No, they don't. No one has ever proposed a ban on guns entirely.
Sir, what is it about a lack of gun control that leads to a well-regulated militia?
What is it? I'm sorry, say that again.
What is it about a total lack of any kind of gun control whatsoever? What is it about that leads to a well-regulated militia?
I think that...
As prescribed by the Second Amendment.
The well-regulated militia was every able-bodied person, 18 or above, who was able to own a firearm. Okay.
Right.
It was not. And why does it say the citizens or the people? It doesn't say the right to the militia.
Well, that regulated.
That's
well regulated.
The condition for the Second Amendment is in the service of a well regulated militia.
Exactly.
To put down rebellions, which they did.
Okay.
But the NRA wants to ignore the first part of it.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Everyone ought to have a gun for whatever reason.
And you want to
ignore the second part of it?
No.
The first part.
They are dependent on each other.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't understand 18th century sentence structure. That's the problem.
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I'm not as educated as you.
Oh, poor thing.
All right, now you're being an ass. I agree with you. Jim, I agree with you. Now he's being an ass. But my point is, and again, we can have this argument over and over and over again, Jim, but you understand what Jim means about... First of all, the founding fathers could not even envision such a thing as a 100-clip, magazine and an assault rifle. They meant muskets. They meant single-shot muskets. If you're going to be such a, adhere to that, the Second Amendment, then why don't you go, fine, then it only covers muskets.
First of all, I find it hard to believe that they couldn't have envisioned any citizen owning a weapon which fires more than one shot. Because there were
really, you think the founding fathers, if they were here, they would go, you know what? Any mentally deranged lunatic can have a 100-wound military assault weapon that only the military normally.
That's an issue. I agree with you on. There should be more control as far as people with mental illness obtaining firearms. All right.
Right. But if you're in the NRA, then you
that.
Support them trying to stop any measure that would prevent. Mentally deranged people from getting guns. The NRA has fought tooth and nail anything that would help that.
I don't agree 100% on any, but I don't agree 100% with my wife, let alone the National Rifle Association. I'm a proud member of the NRA, but however, my position is I would be strongly in favor of some sort of law which would prohibit or give more information to gun dealers dealing with people who have a mental illness. I have no problem with that.
How are you going to do that when they won't even allow the gun show loophole or internet sales to be, they won't even allow that to be closed? Clearly, any lunatic can buy a gun at a gun show.
No, let me tell you, the internet sale thing is a fraud, and I'll tell you why.
Oh,
I buy guns via the internet, okay? Because I'm a firearm owner. I have to go through a federal dealer to pick up my gun. They don't drop it. UPS does not come to my door and drop them off in my, on my stairs, okay? I have to go to a gun shop and then pick up the gun. I have to pay a transfer fee and do a
What happens when you go to a gun show?
When you go to a gun show, if you buy the gun from anyone who's a dealer, you have to go through the background check. That is correct. Mm-hmm. If you don't, then it's subject to state law. Like in Illinois, I still have to undergo a three-day waiting period for a handgun, 24 hours for a long gun.
All right, Jim. You've convinced me everything seems fine then. Okay, we'll talk about all the stuff he just said and why it's not true. Oh, and also in Switzerland, they give you a gun but no ammunition.
Exactly. So you have a useless gun at home, basically.
So it's a doorstop.
Yeah.
Good point, Jim. Okay, 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800. Oh, debunking the gun nut callers during the commercial break. What's not fun about that? Would you like the actual fun facts? Attention, Doofy Jim, the gun nut caller from Chicago. First of all, apparently 100% of our gun deaths are gang-related in Chicago from the blacks.
You know what?
All right. I was engaging in a little hyperbole. He didn't say blacks.
No, he says gang violence in Chicago. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Right.
Bag of vipers.
Winky, winky. Okay, so the fun facts are, in Switzerland, Jim, they do issue you a gun.
Right.
Because there's no army.
There's well-regulated militia.
So
in fact, it's so well-regulated, they don't have ammunition.
Right, so that's what, first of all, that would be a well-regulated militia. Secondly, they don't give you ammunition.
They had a buyback of the ammunition.
Right, and they asked for the ammunition back, Chris, and when, in 2007?
Yeah, they've gotten about 98% of the ammunition back.
And that would happen in America, wouldn't it?
Right. Not too many people are lining up to attack Switzerland.
Right.
Although, if they wanted a drone strike on Monsanto, I'd be for that, but...
Oh, Jim Louise. Okay.
GMO. OMG.
Ew. By the way, Tim in Eureka says, remember that Republican lie about how Obamacare would let the government make your medical decisions for you? Now in Iowa, if a woman on Medicaid wants an abortion due to rape, incest, or her life is in danger, Republican Governor Terry Branstad gets to decide whether or not she can have an abortion. Do you think Republicans even understand the concept of irony?
Computer says no.
No, as we've said many times.
They're against big government.
Irony deficient. Republicans. All right.
By the way,
yes.
People should read the article from consortiumnews.com, How Fake Second Amendment History Kills. Very interesting article about how the NRA is perverting the Second Amendment.
Right. All right. There's only one person that can make sense of all this now, and that would be Caribou Barbie, Sarah Palin. Here's Jim Ward to read her latest word salad.
On Breitbart, Palin wrote, although there's reason to think that she didn't write this particular section.
Loads of us who hang in there supporting a major political party with our energy, time, and contributions elect believe that the party would praise principled conservatives like Ted Cruz and Mike Lee for following through on campaign promises. We like to believe that the GOP establishment would applaud the way these bold leaders have rallied the grassroots to their cause. But no, such praise require a commensurate level of guts and leadership, and the permanent political ascendancy is nothing if not gutless and rudderless. Okay, the fact that the word commensurate
she doesn't
was used,
know the word commensurate.
That's not her writing.
No.
It makes too much sense.
No.
It's not the usual word salad. But she does have another article that apparently was written by her.
Yes.
Here's a little newsflash, GOP establishment. Whenever anything bad happens, the media blames Republicans for it. That's not an excuse to roll over and play dead. It's a call to follow the advice I give my daughters. Woman up, stand your ground, and fight like a girl. Also, too, in addition,
stand your ground. You actually use stand your ground.
Woman up, fight like a girl, stand your ground. Okay. All right. Thanks for diving into the political conversation.
Oh, God.
It's always adds so much. Okay. First of all, that's completely untrue. The media doesn't ever blame the Republicans. It's always, both sides are to blame.
Uh-huh.
We don't know what's happened here. It's all the same. Okay. Let's go to Pat in Illinois. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Pat.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Pat. Hi.
Hello.
I was calling in response to the gentleman from Illinois. I live in the suburbs, gentleman from Chicago. I live in the suburb of Chicago, and it really gets to me when everybody keeps going on and on and on about the Second Amendment. We have to have our guns for a well-regulated militia. It said that back then because we did not have an army.
Right. Yeah.
That's
right.
Why the citizens had the guns. Mm-hmm. They called on them because
that's why Switzerland
did not have
is
an army.
Right, is a particularly bad example.
Yeah.
Jim.
I guess.
Not you, Jim. The other
Jim.
So if they really want to go according to the amendment, the way it was written, get rid of your guns, get your muskets back, and then you can sit because we won't need you. We have an army.
Right.
Yes,
exactly.
Thank you very much, Pat.
I don't think
there's
a lot of gun deaths in Hinsdale.
By the way, don't play dueling countries with us in terms of... Because we, would you like some numbers?
Sure.
Okay, gun homicides. Mongolia had 3. New Zealand had 7.
Right.
Slovenia had 2.
Right, it's an epidemic.
Japan, 11. Just saying.
Just barely out of the single digits.
Right.
Wow.
Mary in Tucson, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Mary.
Good morning, Mama. Jim, first of all, I have to say, every time you do Sarah Palin, my ears bleed.
Mine too.
It's still better than the actual soundbite, isn't it? It makes it a little more palatable.
It does. It does. As we are, you know, ever helpful here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes.
I wanted to talk to the Nimnik Jim in Chicago. He's talking about how he thinks the majority of gun deaths are gang related. Well, I have some actual fun facts for
him. Oh, please. And thank you.
According to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, there are about 31,000 gun deaths per year. But according to the Department of Justice, the National Gang Center, there are about 1,800 gang-related homicides a year, which brings it to a whopping 6%.
Wow.
Mm. So you mean what he said would be, what's the word I'm looking for?
A lie?
Wrong? Yeah, sorry. Right.
Yeah. We collided.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Mary. Appreciate that.
You know what?
By the way, we don't play the actual Sarah Palin soundbites anymore out of respect for our male audience members, many of whom have called and said, my balls just hit the back of my throat. When you play
yes,
that sound,
they go shunk.
Right. The Stephanie Miller Show would like your balls to remain in their proper place, which is why we don't play a lot of actual Sarah Palin sound clips. However, we do apologize for this Ted Cruz clip, which does sound like a mosquito mating with a dental drill.
If they want to insult me, they can knock themselves out. My focus is on the substance, on stopping Obamacare. Why? Because it's hurting the American people.
Jim was saying it's like the, you know, the gnat that goes away
or
when you're sleeping and then it comes back.
Yeah. When you're sleeping right. And you thought you yeah. swatted the last
right.
mosquito. And
right.
then it comes back.
Well, as soon as your eyes close.
Yeah.
Oh, he's back. I bet you that's exactly the face people in the Senate make. Oh. God, he's back. Ugh, he's here again.
Someone get the bug spray.
I recommend Cedarside.
There you go.
Okay. Ronnie in Kentucky, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ronnie.
How y'all doing?
Oh, good.
Well, good, good. Y'all talk about the, you know, over 10,000 deaths a year with guns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's probably an accurate choice. But y'all never talk about the people that save lives by using guns. And that's pretty well up there.
Who's done that?
The people that what? Guns?
Save lives by using guns. Who's done that?
By the way, here's a fun fact for you. Guess how many mass murders like we saw in the Navy Yard last week have been stopped by a civilian with a gun?
About 10 of them in the last 2 years.
No, zero. The number is zero.
No, you're wrong.
No, you're wrong.
No, no, no,
no. No, no, you're wrong. I know you are, but what am I?
No, I know you. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's give this example. How many kids are killed by abortions a year?
There we go. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Really?
Abortion is a legal medical procedure.
Really?
And a zygote is not a fully formed human being.
FYI. He's one of those guys that believe that fetuses should be armed so they can shoot their way out
shoot
of the womb.
Shoot their way out of the womb, right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
For which
I took a deep breath, and then I said, hi, Kyle in Illinois. How are you? Hi, Kyle.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
So, I have to say I do agree with some of the things you guys have said. You know, I am a NRA supporter, but I do agree that there should be stricter background checks And, you know, I do agree with gun shows that there needs to be, also background checks. You know, I do see a loophole there as well. So there's certain things that need to be tightened up to keep guns away from lunatics, so to speak.
Yeah, for instance, you know where you can't bring a loaded gun? To a gun show. If only we had those kind of rules in other places.
I do agree with that. I totally agree with some of the things that you guys are talking about. However, I am a strong Second Amendment supporter. You know, I do feel like you did mention about the regulated militia, but, you know, really that's kind of up for interpretation, you know, really. You know, do I have an automatic weapon? Well, that's a regulation, you know. And there's certain things in place that I feel like also on the flip side of the coin, you know, some people argue that people own guns to keep the government in check, you know, from tyranny and whatnot.
And as we've often said, good luck against that drone.
I know, but to the point, you know, they start blowing up houses and killing innocent people. Just, you know, it's called guerrilla warfare. You know, it's gonna be a very long, hard fight.
You're expecting
this?
Well,
a lot of people are, and really? You don't know. I've heard a lot.
Is it because Obama's in charge?
Well, that could be a reason.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, a lot of groups have been training, and people
training for what?
I mean, for anything.
How do you train to fight the United States government?
What's that?
How do you train to fight the United States Army?
Oh, I don't know, because I'm not in one of those groups.
Oh, I see. Boy, I betcha. I bet it's like CrossFit for babies. I betcha.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
CrossFit.
Yeah, how to defend yourself from
CrossFit with nunchucks.
How to defend yourself from a drone. You just do this, like the Three Stooges. All you do is you put your hand up like that.
Yeah.
Or you clean and snatch right in front of them.
Right. Sorry,
what?
Huh?
You clean and snatch. That's a CrossFit.
I know.
Excuse me?
I know.
What?
I think I did that last weekend. Hey! Whoa! Yada, 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 yada.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
These are the jokes, folks.
See? I could save you money. You don't have to go to one of those classes. All you do is this. You hold your hand up in front of your nose.
Okay.
That's when the drone goes, whoa!
Yes. You got to defend yourself against tyranny. So.
Or tyranny.
Or irony.
There is no defense against irony. That's why it's like kryptonite for them. Sure. Okay, 17 minutes after the hour. Oh, we will continue the fight against tyranny. after this on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Tyra Banksony. I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
What? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, do you have another fun fact for Jim, the Chicago gun nut troll?
Licensed gun dealers are still supposed to perform a background check on if they sell guns on the internet, but unlicensed dealers don't have to.
Right. So that seems like kind of a giant gaping
giant loophole.
And the NRA was instrumental in shooting down the Manchin Toomey proposal. The Manchin Toomey proposal, which would have required background checks on all internet gun sales.
Right.
Wow.
Okay,
so
look at everybody.
Thanks, NRA.
Look, everybody. I know. Doesn't that just kill you when someone says, "I'm a proud NRA member"? Really? Are you proud these days to say you're in the NRA, who are making their money from guns while school kids are getting shot
in the face?
Right. At school, in first grade. Really?
Yeah, you got to make an omelet, you got to kill some kids.
Yeah.
This is a story about Bubba Joe and Skeeter too. Two gun lovers with nothing better to do. They sit around the house, pick their nose and watch Fox News. Lafayette makes his money from guns.
Look out, everybody. Sue in Rockville is armed with facts and dangerous. Look out. Hello, Sue in Rockville.
Hey, good morning. I'm going to speak slowly so that the fidiots who are the individual NRA members who think the NRA represents them can understand that they're just tools being used. Mm-hmm.
Okay? Well, that's just tyranny.
I know, it is. $6 billion industry, gun and ammunition industry. $6 billion.
Yep.
Of which, back in 2008, $136 million revenue just for Smith & Wesson when Obama was elected. I don't know, maybe there's a coincidence, a 48% increase. And according to the New York City public officials, 62% of private gun sellers have agreed to sell firearms to buyers who could not pass gun checks, over 60%. That's more than half.
Yep.
Okay, and then finally, my last night, and there's plenty more. This is all sourced. I sent it to you from Time from 2012.
Mm-hmm.
$14 million is what the NRA spent trying to defeat Obama in this last election.
Wow.
Hmm. Okay, so any individual who calls you any useful NRA tool, and that's what you are, you're a manipulated tool by the NRA to make you afraid, to make you think people are coming for your guns or people are coming to hurt you. I mean, ridiculously stupid. They're being used by the NRA. And remember, as I always say, follow the money.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly.
Facts and rant of the morning.
Yep. I imagine your craw must feel much better now. Okay, let's go to Blake in Alabama. Hi, Blake. Welcome. Hello, Blake.
Hey there. I was just calling to say that I'm tired of these right-wing gun nuts saying that it says the right to bear arms shall not be infringed upon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you really want to get that wordy, we should give all convicted felons back their weapons because it doesn't say that. It doesn't say unless you're a convicted felon. We need to repeal and replace the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
Or at least revisit it and update it for the 21st century.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Why don't you get on that instead of trying to repeal Obamacare? Michael in Boston, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hi, I just wanted to say I was cut out of the womb, not came out shooting out of the womb.
It was knife violence then that brought you into the world.
Yes, knife violence.
Knife fight.
The reason why Mexico has high gun murder rate is because the guns are coming from Arizona, and we heard this in Fast and Furious, where a guy was on welfare and was buying 50 caliber machine guns on a weekly basis.
Wow.
The only good thing Daryl Issa did was actually show us the bad things the gun industry is doing.
Yep, exactly. By the way, reading a little more of Charlie Pierce, who we just talked to a bit ago, he writes such good analogies. We're talking about the Affordable Care Act. He said, I think we can all agree that if you're trying to sell ice cream and the people across the street start screaming that you're selling the kids frozen chocolate botulism, the sales job gets a bit harder.
Crunchy frog.
The motives of the political opposition to health care have been allowed to deliberately remain murky. The fact is the opposition is funded by people who do not believe that the benefits of the country's wealth should be shared by all its people. The fact that the politicians funded by these people believe implicitly and explicitly that there are people in this country who deserve good health and people who don't, and that they can be distinguished by what they can afford, to leave these motives shadowy and implied is a choice is that the Courtier Press has made. This is why the woman in Kentucky he was quoting is so confused, because they're deliberately trying to confuse people.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Back to guns. Marissa in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Marissa.
Hey, Stephanie. I love your show. I listen to you guys every day. I'm a West Side girl in the city of Chicago, so I border one of the most dangerous neighborhoods in probably the country right now. And I'm just getting a little bit tired of, I'm using air quotes, Jim from Illinois talking about how we need more guns to stop this. If you listen and hear any of the things that happen in the city of Chicago, 90% of the people that are shot and killed in the city of Chicago are done with guns that are purchased legally and transferred illegally. So we have a problem here where people, these, again, air quotes, responsible gun owners are walking into places and buying guns and transferring them illegally. They're landing everywhere and no one has any idea where any of these firearms are, and little children, 3-year-olds, are getting shot in the face.
Yeah.
We have a huge problem here, and Jim from Illinois, who's probably never seen Humboldt Park or the south side of Chicago, stop talking about it until you walk through this neighborhood and you hear gunshots at 7 o'clock at night. It's not pretty and it's not fun, and I'm telling you right now, more guns is not going to solve this problem. Period.
Yep, exactly. Thank you, Marissa. Appreciate it. All right, let's go. He can't see that neighborhood from his house. Matt in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Matt.
Hello back there. Well, geez, everybody wants to talk about guns again. Isn't that awful? But one of the things that the gun nuts often forget is that the militia system was tried. It was a swell idea. It just failed to defend the country very well. The militias kind of went out there up against the well-trained British troops and fired a round or two, threw down their muskets, and ran away. That's why we have the military we have now.
Mm. Yep, there you go. Mm-hmm. Take that, Switzerland. Okay, 29 minutes.
You and your cheese and chocolate and watches.
29
and
minutes.
And Matterhorns.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I must say, ever since you started having regular intercourse, your mind has lost its keen edge. You should reflect on that.
Hmm. About this chin scratch. Scritch, scritch. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Mike in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I got a comment for you. I love your show, everything else, but the dirty little secret about firearms and firearm manufacturing, put Democrat, Republican aside, it don't make a difference. What it boils down to is the name of the game. No, now listen, the name of the game is when a Democrat gets in the office, it's a rule of thought is to buy stock. The amount of money that you're going to be making, what I'm saying is the millions and millions of billions upon dollars that are made in the gun manufacturing world is unbelievable. When President Obama came into the office in 2008, he had an A-plus rating with the NRA. After a second term start, that was the time to buy stock, unfortunately right after Aurora. The more media and the hype that the media puts out, the more gun sales go up. So, yeah. And if I know this little thing, tell me, people with big bucks aren't making bigger bucks than what I am.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, look. Go ahead.
I mean, I'm not. I'm just saying. I mean, I'm not. I am a gun owner myself, and I understand all the little smaller arguments there are. However, it's just been a rule of thumb. When a Democrat president comes into office, that's when you buy stock because you're going to make money.
Yeah.
When a Republican gets in office. And now, if you held that stock on long enough and you knew what the midterm election was.
Well, I mean, it's a shame. I wish we could stop, you know, breaking this down along political lines and winners and losers. And, you know, Jim, you said that during the break. This guy wanted to call and go, oh, we won. The NRA won. You lost. When will you admit you lost? It's like, well, I didn't lose. I think America lost.
Yeah. The people families who lost children.
People who want to remain unshot lost. It's like, okay, yeah. I'm not interested in winners and losers. I think it's insane. Like a lot of do this level of gun
violence.
We
won! Look at all the dead kids.
Good for you. Woo-hoo. Yeah, good for you. Good for you. Okay. Brent in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Brent.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, good morning, Stephanie. You know, I think the real problem is that the same people are buying guns. They're hoarding guns. They're creating arsenals. It's not new people buying guns. It's people are buying more and more guns. Maybe it's a zombie apocalypse. Who knows what it is?
Yeah.
But they're afraid. They believe the old bullet hoarding controversy that was going on, where they thought that the government was going to buy up all the bullets and no one's going to be able to get bullets. So I really believe that's the reason more gun sales are increasing.
Yeah.
Not that new people are going out and buying weapons.
Right. Right. You know where you can get a lot of ammunition? Switzerland. Go ask the government of Switzerland. They're hoarding bullets over there.
Yeah. they keep them in central arsenals now instead of in homes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. With all the cheese and chocolate and fondue
and cuckoo clocks.
That's more German. That's Black Horse, isn't it?
No, they have them in Switzerland.
Do they? Okay. Yeah. And all the Matterhorns.
There's only one.
I know. That was a joke.
Except for the one in, Anaheim.
Sure.
Oh, look at this, everybody. Joe Scarborough's writing a book called The Last Best Hope, which I guess is him, because that's his picture.
God, really?
I guess he's the, I guess that means him. Restoring conservatism in America's promise. Oh. Only that Morning Joe can do that. The buzz among GOP insiders is that the right path has the potential to galvanize conservatives in the way Barry Goldwater's conscience of a conservative did half a century ago. And then
except for the landslide.
Oh,
yeah.
All right. Well, I know a little something about that election. Good luck, Joe. Good luck. All right. Hey, look what's happening here. Hundreds protest neo-Nazi plan for a whites-only town in North Dakota. Look at that. Hundreds of protesters gathered in a North Dakota town on Sunday to speak out against plans by an American Nazi group to buy up property and take over the local government in an effort to build a bastion against diversity. Where are the white women at? That's where they are in that town in North
Dakota. White women at?
Well,
yeah,
there.
There.
Little town, North Dakota.
It's the master race.
Thanks, John.
Right in the Führer's face.
Thank you.
That would be their yearly parade.
Yes.
In the middle of their little tiny white street.
And the Führer says he is the master race. The higher, right in the Führer's face.
Okay. Hey, guess what? Clint Eastwood crashed a random wedding in California.
Talk to an empty chair?
Yeah, probably had a little chat with an empty chair. Everyone's like, oh, Clint, that routine just gets funnier every time. I know, and the president...
Flower girls, room there, five.
His estranged wife just filed for legal separation last week, so maybe he was just looking for a random person to marry.
looking for some estranged.
He seemed in good spirits as he spontaneously popped into the celebration for approximately 10 minutes. Okay. Maybe they'll do a new wedding crashers.
Well, there's been a rash of that. Brad Pitt just crashed a wedding not too long ago.
Right.
And didn't, John Travolta, he did the same thing. He crashed a wedding.
What's up with that?
I have no
celebrity
idea.
Wedding crashers. It's a show. It's a something.
Yeah.
Speaking of marriages, Michael Douglas thanked his wife, Catherine. Did you see that during the Emmys?
Yes.
And was wearing his wedding ring, even though they're apparently, taking a break, as they say.
That kind of tells me that Catherine is the one taking a break.
Taking a break.
Yeah, and not Michael.
Perhaps a little something to do with the whole chattiness about the oral sex.
Yeah.
That whole shush, shush, shush. She had gave him a giant bag of shush for their last anniversary. All right. But we wish them well.
Yes,
we do. We hope that all works out. Did he thank baby boy as well in his speech? It's Matt Damon. That would be really funny if he actually is dating Matt Damon. That would be really funny.
I don't think Matt Damon's wife would be happy with that. He has one of the most stable relationships in Hollywood.
Dina Lohan's Long Island Mansion is facing foreclosure again.
Oh, no.
Yes, again. Celeb Bitchy writing, September just hasn't been Dina Lohan's month. First she got arrested and charged with DUI. And now it looks like Dina's Long Island mansion is definitely facing foreclosure. Oh, and then Slim Bitchy writes, then her cracked-out daughter, flush with Oprah money, unceremoniously threw her under the bus. Oh, poor Dina. She seems like such a good mom. Oh, speaking of Oprah, which, by the way, I saw, I told you I saw The Butler. She is spectacular in it.
Yes.
Hashtag drunk Oprah. Awesome.
And non-drunk. She's also not drunk in it.
Yes, she is sober and not so much. But you've got to see it. It's a great movie.
I hear it is.
Right. She was talking about her nervous breakdown.
Yeah.
It was just sort of speeding and a kind of numbness and going from one thing to the next thing to the next thing. I will tell you when I realized that I thought, all right, if I don't calm down, I'm gonna be in serious trouble.
Gawker is just not an empathetic headline. Oprah, I was never going to off near SeaWorld. What?
Because the Coney guy, he was near SeaWorld when he ran down the street and kind of masturbated on a street corner. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was near SeaWorld.
Oh, boy.
Gawker brings us the story. Oprah Winfrey, a minor deity whose shtick is that you're a frantic, unwashed mess and she's going to give you a pair of really comfy bedroom slippers until you feel better, has confirmed rumors that she nearly had a nervous breakdown last year. Speaking to Access Hollywood, she said the combined pressures of shooting The Butler.
Right.
While attempting to jam a spring-loaded needle of adrenaline into the heart of her struggling network. Proof so stressful she began to feel her mental health slipping away. She says the first indication struck her last fall while she was conducting an interview with Jason Russell, leader of Kony 2012.
That's right.
Movement whose infamous breakdown found him running naked through the streets of San Diego and masturbating in public.
Okay.
As you do.
You don't masturbate in front of Shamu.
Right.
That is awful.
No.
that may be why killer whales have started killing trainers, is because of that sort of thing.
I think it's because
humans
of other
whacking
things.
Off in front of them.
So change it to semen world?
Is that Jim.
How did I not see that joke?
Oh,
how
no.
did I not
no.
see that joke?
No.
I don't know.
Wow, that's so
You're
obvious.
Slipping.
I guess so.
Wow.
Good Lord.
You are slipping without lube. Okay.
What?
I was, huh? Yes, and that's what. And then she did the sound clip that we just played, that she described symptoms of sort of speeding and a kind of numbness, adding that the simple act of reading a few pages of lines for a voiceover felt like too much stimulation for my brain. Does that ever happen to you, Jim?
No.
When you're recording your audio for your violent video games that are ruining America?
Yes, it's all my fault.
Mm-hmm. But before we go any further, Oprah needs you to recognize and acknowledge that she wasn't anywhere close to masturbating near SeaWorld. Like some other people she could name. I wasn't ready to go run naked in the streets. Let's make that very clear.
Okay, thanks for clearing that up, Oprah. Through the streets of Montecito.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Through a meadow.
I've been in that meadow.
I know you have.
let's see. Blah, blah. But I've reached a point where I just couldn't take any more stimulation. Okay. According to Access Hollywood, Oprah's turning point came during an interview with Fergie, which seems like a waste of a turning point. She seems to be feeling better now. Hopefully she will be able to parlay her dalliance with mental instability into a truly moving installment of Oprah's favorite things. Featuring products, a small amber bottle of boba essential oil, a handsome maple cutting board, a tin of scrumptious caramel popcorns that pulled her back from the brink of insanity. But one has to wonder if Oprah, with her endless reserves of cream-colored candles, can't find serenity. What hope is there for the rest of us? Oh, Gawker. You're stamped.
Oh, God.
You
that was funny. That was really funny.
Oh, poor Oprah. All right. I'm glad she's feeling better. Maybe she'll let me ruin another network.
Hey.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Not enough Danny Elfman on the radio.
You're right.
No, it is the Stephanie Miller Show, 50 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by Carbonite. All right. Dave in Minneapolis, back on the guns. Hello, Dave.
Hi, Steffi. I love you guys. You're hilarious and intelligent. I want to commend you for getting into a sane and calm discussion with Jim from Chicago. He had mentioned that gangs were one of the reasons why he feels like he needs to own guns. And so I'd like to make a request of you guys, if I may.
Right.
And that is when you get someone, he also admitted, by the way, that he thinks that they should be kept out of the hands of crazy people.
Mm-hmm.
So, If you get someone like him on the line again, can you ask him if we can work together to keep guns out of the hands of gangs and crazies? I mean, it seems
right.
Like
you
we
can't
meet
say
in
that
the
and then say I'm a proud NRA member, which is the sole organization responsible for making sure that any crazy person can have a gun. Right.
Yeah, I defy anyone who supports the NRA to give me any evidence that they have ever tried to keep guns out of the hands of bad guys.
No, or anybody.
Or blind people.
Yes. Yes.
Was it Iowa? Was
right.
Planning to distribute guns to
right.
blind people?
What could go wrong with a blind person taking a gun into a bar? Nothing. Nothing. Oh, William, armed and dangerous with gun facts as well. Why Mexico is a bad example as well. Steph, the main reason Mexico isn't safe isn't because of gun access, it's because of corruption in major criminal organizations,
yeah,
since
yeah.
much of the concern with black markets in this country centers on individuals acquiring weapons, and since corruption is far less of an issue here, neither of these apply here. That makes Mexico a bad example, since the circumstances are different. Hey, at least Switzerland was an, oh, that was a bad example.
Really bad example.
Oh, gosh. Try again, though, little feller.
Oh, and also
he seems plucky.
They Switzerland also has strict controls on the sale and transfer of these guns that they're issued.
Right.
So
right.
they have like really, really strict gun control there.
Right. Oh, Chris in Yankton likes to point out, guys, when I hear the mosquito-y whine of Ted Cruz speaking, I expect to hear an electric zrap after he hits the bug zapper.
Individual politicians can choose to say whatever they want. They can launch whatever personal insults they want. I would note in the House that the Republicans, including those who have criticized me, voted to defund Obamacare.
That
and in the Senate, I think
yeah,
the votes are very fluid.
Him. I missed him. Okay. Oops. Uh-oh.
Hey, it smells like poutine.
What? Hmm? Were you trying to get him with a bug zapper?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Oh... All right. Oh, I know what you're thinking, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Which dead person got the most and least applause at the Emmys? Someone has compiled that information. They actually did the graphy graphs.
Oh, wow.
Oh, on that little montage that they had?
Right.
Okay.
That was a lot of dead people. That was like a...
That was an entire Emmys full.
I mean, dead Emmy people.
The way they spread the dead people out throughout the show,
yeah.
it was just very sad.
Yes. You'll not be surprised to know Jack Klugman got the most applause, because that was a mini-scandal, as you know, that
yeah.
he was not given an individual.
Well,
applause.
He should.
Yes. The only moment that drew more applause is when the segment ended.
Oh.
Oh, God. God. Can
oh,
we go
boy.
Party now? Julie Harris was a close second. Roger Ebert, too, was popular. He was third. Who got the least applause? Sir David Frost.
Well, they say in the article that they surmise it's because he was first, and so nobody wants
people
to...
People were like, oh, so
right.
are we supposed to...
Yeah,
applaud.
The first one you
Dead
really
guy.
Don't applaud for,
right.
and then you see someone that really you think really should get applause, and that gets the applause train rolling.
And then like, oh, can we go back again and...
Yeah.
Okay.
So now he can interview Nixon for all eternity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a really important interview that he did.
Yeah.
That was historic.
This could be bad news for Bobby Jindal's presidential run. A man arrested for performing exorcism on 80-year-old girlfriend.
Hmm.
Bobby Jindal's like, that's illegal?
Since when's that a problem?
We did that for fun in college.
Volcano monitoring.
It's crazy. David Edward Benes of Holiday, of Florida, of course.
Of course.
Was arrested after imprisoning his 80-year-old girlfriend. attempting to perform a 2-day exorcism on her.
Ooh.
Ooh, it was not taking, apparently. When the authorities arrived, he was on the couch, too drunk to remember what happened. He then told the officers his girlfriend started the fight because she is crazy.
Mm-hmm. It was one of those deluxe 2-day exorcisms.
Right.
Oh, good.
Right. I don't know if he charged extra, but... Oh, boy. Okay. How about this one? Woman tosses feces during spat over a ticket. Ah, yikes. Hey,
oh,
that
always, goes over well.
New Jersey, of course.
Yeah, that wins the cops over to your side.
By the
we
way...
We want to know why she had feces readily available for tossing? Was
she picked it up off the, grass.
Oh, okay.
Yes. No, it wasn't her own feces.
No. Oh,
no.
A woman who got in a spat with a female parking officer over a ticket admitted to picking up feces from the ground and
yeah.
tossing it at her face. Okay.
No.
Yes. She that prompted the women to get into a tussle as a crowd gathered. I would gather to watch that. Hey, dudes, come here. She just threw in her face. Come here. This is getting good.
Dude.
Eventually, some of the witnesses separated them. Boy. Is that worse or flipping the cops off? Here's another one. Authorities say this is in Iowa. Man flipped off a police officer with a hand gesture before leading a car chase. That's probably also unwise.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of asking for it.
Right, yeah. He later collided with another squad car. He left on foot but was subdued with a taser. Yeah, I don't know how I knew that was going to end with a taser or a bug zapper.
That's only for Ted Cruz.
Can you tase Ted Cruz if he attempted a filibuster? Could someone tase him? Is that constitutional?
newsbusters.
We're not suggesting anyone tase Ted Cruz.
Or bug zap him.
No. We're just saying he is irritating.
If they want to insult me, they can knock themselves out. My focus is on the substance, on stopping Obamacare. Why? Because it's hurting the American people.
Okay. All right. Oh, and this one, I'm not sure. As you know, I did not procreate. Applebee's kicks family out over noisy kids.
Good.
Isn't that where you go to eat when you have noisy kids?
Is that from the good news stack?
A family was kicked out of Applebee's and received a warning from police over their noisy children. They admitted that their 3-year-old and 1-year-old sons are, quote, kind of active.
Alrighty then.
I've been on a lot of flights with a lot of really active kids, and it's fun. That's it for us. I'd like to thank Crystal Lloyd, Jim Ward, T-Bone on phones and drums. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.